know that there are real difficulties and challenges in being a Black woman who has the courage to put herself up for consideration for public office and frankly experiencing daily criticism while doing it.
That's LaFonza Butler on the NPR Politics podcast back in 2021. Well, yesterday, Governor Gavin Newsom appointed her to fill Dianne Feinstein's Senate seat after Feinstein died last week. Butler is expected to be sworn in on Wednesday by Vice President Kamala Harris, with whom she has worked. Newsom fulfilled a promise he made 2 years ago to name a Black woman to the next vacant Senate seat. He had also said he would name what he described as a placeholder to not put his thumb on the scale for an already crowded race in 2024. Democratic Representatives Barbara Lee, Katie Porter, and Adam Schiff have been vying for that seat ever since Feinstein announced she would retire. Joining us now to talk about all this is CalMatters reporter Alexei Kossev. Welcome back to Press Play.
Thanks for having me on.
All right. Well, tell us more about LaFonza Butler. A lot of us had never heard of her before yesterday's announcement. She currently heads Emily's List. That's a national group that works to elect women who support abortion rights. So tell us more about who she is and where she came from.
Yeah, she's probably not a name that most people have heard, but she actually has been around California politics for a long time and has been quite an influential and powerful figure in this world. As you mentioned, she most recently has been working with Emily's List. It's more of a national organization that works to elect Democratic women who support abortion rights. But prior to that, she had a long history in organized labor, including as the head of SEIU Local 2015, which is a union for California's long-term caregivers. After that, she worked for a while as a partner in the consulting firm that represents Gavin Newsom, Kamala Harris, among many other very high-ranking California political figures. And after that, she went on to work for Airbnb in their public policy shop. So she's kind of been all over the place, but, you know, very, very powerful figure in a lot of circles, certainly.
Does she live in California? Does she vote in California?
Right. So that is actually a question that immediately cropped up because she did move to the Washington, D.C. area about 2 years ago when she took on this role with Emily's List. So even though she was a longtime California resident before that, she isn't currently. That was obviously one of the first questions that people were asking of the governor's office. And what they said is that LaFonza Butler is still a homeowner in California and she will re-register to vote in the state prior to being sworn in as a U.S. senator, and that should, you know, that should sort of clear up any eligibility issues that she may have. But obviously, this did open up, you know, some criticism. A lot of Republicans, in particular, sort of mocked the governor for the fact that he couldn't even find someone to appoint from California.
Well, apparently some high-level women turned him down, right? Maxine Waters, Karen Bass reportedly said no thanks.
So, I mean, you know, very publicly, I think there have been a lot of women whose names were at least thrown in the mix that have said they weren't interested. They sort of pushed the attention off of themselves and tried to push it onto Barbara Lee. As you mentioned, she's already running in this race, and I think there's a lot of her supporters who have really been pressuring Gavin Newsom to appoint her to this empty seat to try and give her a boost in the race, because she actually has been sort of lagging in the polls behind Katie Porter and Adam Schiff. And so, you know, Karen Bass is one who sort of said, I'm not interested. Look at Barbara Lee. You know, Maxine Waters is certainly another. San Francisco Mayor London Breed is another person who sort of tried to push the attention back onto Barbara Lee. And, you know, there was this big public pressure campaign, and obviously it did not work out in the end.
Right. So he said he didn't want to put his thumb on the scale in next year's race by appointing someone who's already in it. Why not? I mean, what's his reasoning there? Because there's going to be an election, and, you know, it's possible that even if one of these candidates was in the seat, they could lose the election.
That's absolutely true. I do think that, you know, that sentiment is coming from a reasonable place, right? He was sort of saying, it should be up to the voters. We're very close to this election now. I mean, ballots are going to go out in February for the primary. So we're less than 5 months away here at this point. But he does seem to have backed away from that promise to only make an interim appointment, because his office clarified yesterday that LaFonza Butler, there was no, mandate put on her that she not run for a full term if she wants to. And she has not said one way or the other if she plans to run for the seat for a full term. But that is clearly, if she does, that would be putting a thumb on the scale of the race, right, to appoint her to the seat and then give her this leg up to run for a full term.
But didn't he get a lot of criticism for saying he would only appoint someone who would promise not to run? First of all, that's not his decision to make, whether someone decides to run or not. But also, why just put in, especially a Black woman as just a placeholder? That was criticized by the Congressional Black Caucus, amongst others.
You're absolutely right. I think the loudest voices that you heard criticizing that, though, were supporters of Barbara Lee's. It were people, that comment that he made kind of shut the door on the possibility of appointing her to the seat. And that really upset her. She obviously spoke out publicly about, calling the notion that a Black woman would only be a caretaker in the position offensive and insulting. There was a lot of people who felt like that was, a bad choice that he made. But I would say there were others actually who felt like it was the right thing for him to do to not insert himself in the middle of this race, where the candidates have been running already for 9 months now. It wouldn't be fair to Katie Porter or Adam Schiff to suddenly give a leg up to their opponent.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. So, but if she does run, if LaFonza Butler does run for the full term, would she most likely draw support away from Barbara Lee as a progressive Black woman?
It's so hard to say, right? Because we don't even know yet if she is going to run. So these are all the sort of hypotheticals that we're trying to figure out at the moment. We don't have all the answers yet. But I do think that, there's a lot of questions about what her entering the race would mean. From a surface level, she certainly has a profile most similar to Barbara Lee's, but politically, we don't really know yet how she's gonna, govern, right? We don't know what position she would take. I mean, Barbara Lee has really asserted herself out there as the progressive choice, and that has garnered her a lot of fans. Not enough, obviously, to be leading in the polls, but they may be very devoted to her, and in fact, mm-hmm. LaFonza Butler might end up being a little bit more of a mainstream Democrat and draw support away from someone like Adam Schiff. We don't know yet. It's so early. I mean, LaFonza Butler has never actually held elected office before. I mean, that's what's sort of remarkable about her appointment as well, is that, she is this political operative, this very powerful political operative, but this is the first time she's going to be out there sort of governing on her own terms.
Yeah, and here she is, one of two senators from California, which could be on its own, maybe the seventh richest nation in the world. That's a pretty big step up.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, yeah, I don't think she was on some long lists of people that might be considered, but I think her, her appointment did catch a lot of people by surprise. It makes a little more sense maybe in retrospect, just given her close connections to Newsom through these political advisors. But nevertheless, it is absolutely sort of a surprising choice to pick this person basically out of obscurity and elevate her to, one of two senators for the entire state of California.
CalMatters reporter Alexi Kossoff. He covers the governor, he covers the legislature, and he covers the entire California government from Sacramento. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.